Good morning. I actually heard a story last night from Joni Nessa about how she was visiting another church site, and they said good morning, and she said good morning, and she was the only one who said good morning. So not everyone does that, but it's nice to do it here. A couple announcements before I get started here. The restrooms are basically out this way, and how you get there is go out the back doors and come around the side of this wall here, and there's restrooms right outside. There are changing tables in there if anybody needs that for babies. If anyone needs to go outside with young kids or anything like that, there's an area just right outside. We have the sound is right outside the back doors there. So, and it's a nice day, covered. If you need to be out there. If you have any questions about where to go or anything like that, Mike Bowes is in the back guarding the door, so talk to him. It's kind of nice to go to a new place. Actually, we've been here before. Who's actually never been to this building before? Look at that. That's all new people to our area. No, that's great. I mean, that's great. It shows, you know, there's growth and things change. So that's a good chunk of the room. All right. So Pentecost is in 2 weeks, our next holy day. And Pentecost has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit, right? And we'll hear about the Holy Spirit. There'll be additional messages about Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit and how it applies to our life. The Holy Spirit was made available to people, really, on that day. It was in Acts 2. There was, with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, laying on of hands, and baptism, the Holy Spirit was made available. Pentecost, for anyone who's not sure of this, is actually, it means 50, right? 50. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, counting 50 days from the Sabbath in the days of unleavened bread. So, if you have more questions about Pentecost or any of the holy days, I would suggest that you look at the booklet God's Holy Day Plan. It'll lay it all out for you. There's a lot of detail in there. I keep a copy of it with me in my briefcase all the time. So, look at that if you have questions. So the Holy Spirit, it works in us and works with us. It allows us to produce fruit. With the youth lessons, we've been going through Galatians 22, the fruit of the Spirit. They're listed as love, joy, which we're on this month, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We've heard that scripture. It's used often. But fruit is talking about benefits, okay? Benefits, effects, or results of having the Holy Spirit in you or working with you in your life. And those fruits that are listed in Galatians 22 certainly do apply, and they're important to know and to look at. But there are other benefits, right? Results of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So today I'm going to look at three other fruits of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit can produce in our lives. And much of this information comes from articles in the recent Beyond Today magazine. One of those articles is called Other Fruit of the Spirit. Another article is called The Overwhelming Force. So good articles. I suggest that you would read them. So the first fruit that I'm going to talk about that is produced in our life by the Holy Spirit is power. Power. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So power. right? Something that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. And we should pray for these things too. Pray that the Holy Spirit, that we're using that and God is guiding us, that we're producing these fruits in our lives. But we have power in our life and we should know that and know that it's behind us. Now, the United States, we have peace in general, right? And our peace comes through power. In that one article, it's the Overwhelming Force in the Beyond Today magazine speaks of this. And we have a massive army in the United States, right? And it provides peace for us because there's nobody out there, no other countries that would dare attack us because we have that power behind us. It's been something that the U.S. has used really since World War II, right? And there's a sense of peace based on that. Well, we don't have power from the Holy Spirit to strike fear in others or that we could destroy them, but it can give us confidence that we don't have to fear anyone. There's no one we have to fear because we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us. Let's turn over to Acts 4. Got Marlon guarding me over here. That's nice. In Acts 4, verse 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Okay, they went out, they were speaking the word of God. With boldness, it says. And then in verse 33, it says, "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." So the Holy Spirit in this story was giving people this power to go out and speak, to say what the plan of God was, right? They were talking about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So what does that look like for us, right? What if the Holy Spirit is working in our lives? How do we use that in a similar situation? Well, what is the work of God that we're asked to do? You know, it's really summarized right here in this mission of preach the gospel and prepare a people, right? And that can be difficult. It can be very difficult to speak that and with boldness to say what you believe or what we believe and we know to be true, the truth of God. It can be a scary thing. But God has his Holy Spirit behind us and in us that can help us when we're under those pressures. We don't have to fear. Let's turn over to Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 4. And this was Jesus Christ speaking here. 12 verse 11. It says, "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." And we should remember this and pray for this power in our lives, right? When we have the Holy Spirit working with us, that we do use that to say what needs to be said when we're asked. That we have the power to stand up and speak the truth. Right? Do God's work and preach the gospel. And it's not easy. It really isn't. My daughter, Kirsten, she just froze up there. Last Friday, she was over at a friend's house, and they want her to come over the next day, right, on Saturday. And she said, I can't play on Saturday, I have to go to church. And right away they say, what, are you Jewish? Right. Yeah, you've heard this before. And she said, no, I'm a Christian. And they said, these are the parents, they said, well, what do you think about Jesus? So she gave an answer. She gave a good answer. And we'll read later, the Holy Spirit, it's in us and part of us when we're baptized, but it's promised to everyone who's called. And you should pray for that power in your life to be helping you, no matter who you are. The youngest of us to the oldest can all have that opportunity to stand up and to speak the word of God and preach the gospel. Let's turn over to John 14. John 14 and verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all things that I said to you. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? So it's that power. The power of the Holy Spirit, it gives us peace. We have peace of mind that when asked, we can say the truth. I'll just, Romans 8:31, you don't need to turn there. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? Right? It's a very encouraging thing. And it's a blessing that we have, and not many do. It's truly a blessing. So we have that overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. It's behind us. Power to stand up, to speak, to be an example, to preach the gospel. And we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear. We have the power to do God's work. So the Holy Spirit, it produces power to speak, to act, but it also produces wisdom. Wisdom in your words and actions. Right, and that's the next fruit that I'm going to speak about. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? And we want to do that. We don't want to just have power to speak and just be bold, right? We want to have the wisdom in us as well to say what the truth is, what God would have us say. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit, it allows us to understand God's Word, His truth. And really, without God's Spirit guiding us, we are blind. We're blind. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. And we can read a little bit about that. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And that's very important to know, that the Holy Spirit, it guides us, and it helps us to not only have that power, but wisdom. Wisdom on and what is true. Continuing on, it says, "For what man knows the things? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the thing of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been made freely given to us." It says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Then he goes on to say, "But we have the mind of Christ." That's very, very important to think about, that we have understanding, and that's given to us by the Holy Spirit, that wisdom. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Think about this day that's coming up, Pentecost. It's in the Bible, right? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Why aren't more people celebrating that day? Why don't they know? Why have some people have heard of it, certainly. But why isn't it important to many more than just us? It's listed. Let's read where it's listed in the New Testament as well. Let's go to Acts 2. In Acts 2, verse 1. And this is tells the story of that Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house they were sitting." In verse 4 it said, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Clearly this day is important, right? But I'm asking why? Why don't other people know? Why are we so few? Let's turn over to Acts 20. We'll read another, just very quickly, of where Pentecost is mentioned in the Bible. 20 verse 16. And this is the story of Paul and his travels and kind of the all the adventures he was on. Acts 20, verse 16. It said, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." This was very important to Paul. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read another scripture. It was in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. It's, once again, it says, "For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay with you if the Lord permits." It said, but then he goes on to say, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." So that was a focus. It's a focus of Paul, right? Very important. And these scriptures are in the Bible. Why can't people see that and be like, "Oh, of course, we should be keeping Pentecost. It's very important." Well, let's turn over to Acts 28, and we can actually get some insight into why that is. So this is when Paul, he'd been arrested, and now he's being asked what he believes. It's right at the end of Acts. And I'll start in Acts 28, verse 22. So it says, "But when we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." And this is them asking Paul. "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So he said, okay, I'll talk to you. This is what's going on. I'm telling you the truth of God. It says, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet, our father, saying, go to his people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. So I'll just end right there. This wisdom, this understanding, these words, and even these holy days, right? What seems so simple, you could say it's right there. And people don't see it, right? They don't understand it. It's God's Holy Spirit gives us wisdom in these things. So we have that power, right? Talked about the power and wisdom. You can't just have power. You got to know what to do with it, how to use it. And God, through his Holy Spirit, guides us in those circumstances, gives us the power, gives us the wisdom on what to say. And when that happens, it produces another fruit in our life. It produces light. Light. And that's the third fruit that I'm going to speak about this morning. Let's turn over to John. Actually, I'll just read it. John 8, verse 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. God's power, his Holy Spirit, it does makes us a light. Let's turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So I'd say when you live this way of life, when the Holy Spirit is in you and or working with you in your life and behind you, you become a light. People see it. They see you. In verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. Think about there's usually a light up here, there's not today, but even if I had a little of the light on my phone, and we turned off all the lights in this room, it would stick out. Right? You'd be able to see that light. Everyone in the room would be able to see this one little light. And that can be us in the world, right? The world is dark. And we stick out. And that can be tough. That can be tough. And we don't always fit in, right? We have friends or family even who, when we're around them, they know we're different. They know it. They see it. Even if you don't say anything about what you believe or what you know to be true, they see it in how you act, right? It's your light shining. And it impacts others. And whether they accept that or not is really not the issue right now, but it is important that you know that you are a light shining in this world, in this dark world. Let's turn over to Matthew, verse 5, or chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. It says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And we should be letting our light shine. And I know that we do. I know we do. And this is produced in us, right, through the Holy Spirit and using God's power, His wisdom in our lives, an example to others. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Right? And that's something we need to remember. Right? Why is it important that we have the Holy Spirit in us and working with us, behind us, to do God's work. To do God's work. Verse 14, it says, to do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And it says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That's very encouraging. Because when you stick out and you feel, and you're like, I don't know, I don't really like how that feels sometimes. But know that that's why you're here. And if you shine, if your light is shining, it's a good thing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. It's God working with you. Right? And that applies to any of us. From those the young who are not yet baptized and the Holy Spirit works in their life, to those who are baptized and further down that path and have the Spirit working in them and part of them, can all shine as lights. So the Holy Spirit, it produces light in us, in you. When you and I, when we live God's way, we have access to His Holy Spirit. It's laid out here. We shine as lights in the world. And that light, it's a glimpse for others. They see it. And some say, you know what? There's something to that. And I think I need to look into that more. I think it's true. And that's a great thing. And some will get that now. And some will have to wait for a future time as God's plan unfolds before they can also understand that light that is being shined on them. So as Pentecost approaches, let's remember the fruit of the Holy Spirit and what it produces in our lives. We have an overwhelming power behind us, a power that gives us the ability to do God's work, to preach the gospel, and to not fear doing that, to not fear others. It also produces wisdom that helps us know what to say and do when we're in those circumstances. And it makes us a light. It makes us a light to shine in the darkness of this world. It's a light that shows that God's way is true and right. So go out, ask in prayer that you can use the Holy Spirit in these ways, that these fruits can be evident in your life, in my life, and in the church, that we can use those fruits to serve God, to share His plan, and to share His way of life eventually with the entire world.